Benedict says, we come to a topic which has been discussed many times before, but which requires still more discussion, much more discussion. Topic of Emunah, faith in Hashem, actually means simple, pure faith. Simple faith means without asking questions. The opposite of this is what's known as mechakrim, or philosophers. Philosophers who do ask questions. They go in depth on the topic of faith, and that is a faith, they question items that should not even be discussed. They question details about Hashem. Hashem was far above our conception. They want to know about Hashem. And this, of course, causes a lot of damage, a lot of harm. Benedict says that even if this is done by the leaders of the Jews, Midei Chachamim, important holy leaders of the past, who wrote books on philosophy, those books are forbidden for a Jew to look into, because the Jew can do much more harm to himself by reading them than whatever he can gain from there. A Jew is supposed to have simple faith, to believe simply that Hashem created the world. Hashem knows what he did, knows what he's doing. Hashem supervises everything, and that's sufficient for us. We have to serve Hashem without delving into these secret reasons, heavenly reasons which we could never achieve anyhow. Now, the nature of these books of philosophy, it is best, of course, that we don't even discuss them. Yet the Abinazal does, to show us a few examples, as since Abinazal did, then we could mention these points, but not to go any further. The nature of these books of philosophy is, what is the harm in their writings? They have a nature of asking questions, very difficult questions, very deep questions, and then they come up with the answers. They're supposed to mean well. They ask a deep question, perplexing question, then they come up with an answer to this question. The question is a very difficult one. The answer is a very weak one. It is so weak that an ordinary person could easily disprove this answer. And what is he left with? He's now filled his mind with this dangerous question about faith. What has he gained? The answer is gone. The question remains. He could not answer the question himself. Now, in his mind, there is a germ of doubt, a question which doesn't belong there, a question about faith, which he shouldn't have entered into in the first place. In truth, Abinadal says, these questions are really nothing. They are meaningless, because there is no question about faith, about Hashem. But written by these philosophers, they appear as very difficult questions, and they do their harm. How about these people? There are people who have a tendency, they're drawn, magnetized towards these books of philosophy, towards these topics of philosophy. They seem to have a taiva, a desire to go into this more than any other type of learning. Why is that so? What do they refuse, reject? An example is Zohar Kodesh, the Kisvei Arizal, the writings of the great Tzaddikim, the recent past. Why do they turn to these books of philosophy, which have no real value in Emunah, and which cause so much damage to a Jew, to a Jew's faith? The answer is, very sadly, that these people are basically evil. Basically means they are actually born evil. They are born with two strikes against them. It is possible for a person to be born with an evil heart, an evil mind, instead of good, and naturally being evil, he's drawn to his own kind. He's drawn to evil. Now, this means then he's given less of a chance than a second person? The answer is yes, he's less of a chance, but the door is not closed to him. He has the responsibility of overcoming this innate evil nature. He does have the power of overcoming it, though it's much more difficult for him than a different person, but he could overcome it if he wants to. It's difficult, but it could be done, and it's his task to defeat this evil nature within him and to emerge victorious with a new type of nature, one that is pure. A very few, of course, very, very few who are successful. Because once a person has this nature that is drawn to philosophy, it's very difficult to tear him away from it. You find very few cases where a person does come out. Yeruv itself tells us that this is like a death sentence. Why is this person inflicted with this evil nature? It is obviously clear because of something in his past. His past life, he had done accumulated so much evil that in order to be able to achieve afterwards Gan Eden, any reward, you must go through a very severe test. Severe test is to be reborn, reincarnated, to come to life again with this type of evil nature. True, that is very difficult for him, extremely difficult, but if he comes out, if he goes into battle and wins out, fine. He's able to erase past evils and to join with those who are good. If not, then he's lost. But at least this proves, Rabbein El says, that no matter what kind of a nature a person has, he was sent to this world only because he is given that chance. So if his eyes could just be opened up, he could begin to understand, to see. He could begin to see that he's here with that purpose of being given this opportunity to return, to come back to Hashem when he has wandered for who knows how long before, previously. This person, if he could be enlightened, is one of the greatest mitzvahs possible. But who can undertake this task? The Gemara itself says, when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Da, Mashatosh Vabikurtis, know what to reply to an atheist. Know enough about Tehidit to be able to reply to an atheist. The Gemara says this refers only to a Goy, a non-Jewish atheist. But if you find a Jewish atheist, then it's practically impossible, or just about impossible, the Gemara says, to sway him. If you talk to him, he'll much more likely sway you, take and trap you and snare you into his way of thinking, Chas Hashem. Therefore, the Gemara says, do not even begin to speak to a person like that. There are certain tzaddikim amitiyim who do have that power to bring this person close, but because of this, again, it's up to the person himself. No matter how bad he is, no matter how far he is sunk into this kafina, this atheism, sabikursus, he is still able to save himself. It's difficult, but it's possible. So a person who is awakened to that thought, who would at least someday, sometime, open his eyes and read a word of Rabbein El Sefer, that one word could be his salvation. And it has happened. Rabbein El's greatest miracles are those of spiritual Tchiyas HaMeisim, where he took those who were practically dead. A person like that is spiritually dead, in a sense. And to bring that person out of this death stage, to rejuvenate it, bring it back to life. Life means the real faith, Emunah Eschayim. That person can become really, truly, fully alive again through this drop that he receives, medicine receives from the Tzadikemus. Belial says, though, that this fact that these people who have this nature of evil, they are the ones that choose to turn to their type of books, their type of reading, philosophy books, and the poison that comes from them. Therefore, a person should avoid studying these books of philosophy and speaking to those who study them also. Never has a show to attend a class where these books are taught or a class by one who deals with this topic. Benedict says now, for example, one of the questions asked in their books is, why was it that one individual, one certain one, was created by Hashem as an angel? An angel is free. He has no evil desire, evil inclination. He has no problems of earning a livelihood. He has no worries. And he has wings. He flies at will to the upper heavens, while the second one is born human being with all the suffering that goes with it. Why this one angel, this one human? To go further, why was one part of a unit created as the head, second one as the foot? Why did this part have to suffer to be created as a foot to carry the rest of the body, and the top of the body is the head? Just looking at the unit itself, this part of the body, why was it zochet? What privilege did it have to become a head and a foot? Of course, you could say there has to be a head, there has to be a foot. You need both. Fine, but why one was made, chosen as the head, one as the foot? These are some of the questions they ask. And of course, the Rabbeinu says that these questions are nothing. They don't even require an answer because of the fact that very simply, simplest answer is that this is what Hashem did, and Hashem knows what he did and why he did it. Now, the Rabbeinu says, if you would know why it's done, if you would know Hashem's reasons, you would know Hashem's motives, you would be Hashem. Since you are not Hashem, you don't know Hashem's reasons and Hashem's depth, and therefore, don't try, don't attempt it. And it says, though, as far as this singular item goes, to explain a little just drop to explain the answer to this question. The fact is that the entire creation could be compared to a dreidel, the dreidel that's used to spin a Chanukah. This dreidel, everything spins. There are letters on this dreidel. Letters are Nun, Gimel, Hey, Shin. This refers to Chanukah. The simple interpretation of these letters are Nes, Gadol, HaYoshom. A great miracle occurred there at that time, during the miracle of Chanukah. That's the simple one for children. However, since the fact is that all of creation is like a dreidel, Niman, these four letters refer to the creation itself. By creation, there are three kinds of creation. One, the Nun stands for Nivdolim. Nivdolim means that which is separated from Gashmius. It's all spiritual. The angels, first part of creation, you have only a spirit, nothing physical at all. Then you have the Galgalim. The Gimel is the Galgalim, which means in the universe itself, the upper part of the universe, the stars, parts of the heaven, our heaven, the physical heaven, which is not spiritual anymore, but is still much more delicate than what we call material, simple material, earthly. True that, as the Gemara says, that everything is made of offer, even Galgal Chama. The sun itself is a mass of material, yet it's in a more delicate sense. It's not material mass like the earth is. The Galgalim, which of course refers to something higher than the sun, the moon, or the planets, refers to the size of the zodiac. The Marzolos, the Galgalim, these are astrological figures which represent the stars in their orbit around the earth, and these are not spiritual, yet they are not fully material. In between. Finally, we have the Shofar. The Shin is the Shofar, which means the very lowly material world that we are in. And this is filled with Gashmius, material. Though these are all three different levels of creation, in origin, the origin is one. The origin of these three is one, because they all come from one origin of creation, and like a dreidel, they spin. Spinning means that sometimes you see an angel, you see a human, you see an upper part of creation, a lower part of creation. These keep changing. We can't see it now because it takes a longer time. But there is this, we hate to use this possible word, evolution, as for sure, but the movement, the motion, or revolution, let's say, the spinning revolution, where sometimes that which is above goes below, below goes above. For example, we'll find that an angel can become a person. We find in the first chapter of the Torah that angels came down to earth and materialized into human beings and remained on earth. We find there is Elyonim Lamata, above came below. We find, too, that there are cases of those going above. The Zohar Kodesh says that certain people were taken up from earth and became angels. Chanech, for example. Chanech disappeared, it says, went to heaven, became an angel. He was, of course, the Malach Mentes. Or even, Rav Shimon Choizal told his son that when you leave the world, when you're nostalgic, you're going to have a new name in heaven, the name of an angel. You become an angel. So we find that it is possible for persons to become angels. Of course, the Zohar Kodesh stresses, the Rizal says that who is greater, an angel or a tzaddik? A tzaddik is greater. So how can you say that a tzaddik is nostalgic, becomes an angel? The answer is that an angel greater than a person while the person is alive. But when that person is a tzaddik and he's nostalgic and becomes an angel, he is a higher angel than those who were angels previously. Very important item to remember in case you meet angels later on, you'll know where you're leading. Now, Abinadol says that we find, too, that speaking about a head, a foot, top, bottom, it's not always top and bottom. Because sometimes you can have where the bottom could be higher than the top. For example, to go into the basic rules of Kabbalah, we have four different levels of creation, four different worlds. First world, this lowest world is called Elam HaAsiya, material world. Above you have Elam HaYetzira, a world of the angels. Olam HaBriya, and so forth. Olam HaTzilus, the highest world. This world, the head of this world, which means the highest sphera, Now, this lowest world, the highest, that's the head, the crown of this world, the keser, is lower than the malchus of the next world. Malchus is the foot, the bottom of the next world. A case where a head is lower than a foot. And so, and this is just a small few explanations. Then it says we find this more clearly understood when we turn to the Beis HaMikdash. The Holy Temple, we find the dreidel there much more clearly elaborated. The Beis HaMikdash, you have something which defies scientific or philosophical explanation. You find there upper ones below, lower ones above. Something which is impossible to explain from a scientific viewpoint. We have, for example, the Pasuk says, is there any item that can contain the Spirit of Hashem? The Spirit of Hashem is greater in size than all of the creation, all of the worlds, lower worlds, heavenly worlds, and so forth. And yet we find that this tiny room, the Holy Temple, the Holy of Holies, is where the Spirit of Hashem rested. That is the abode of the Spirit of Hashem. The heavenly, the above, came down below, confined in this small place below. Those below have risen above. What is the lowest thing on earth? The animal life. An animal was taken, placed on the altar on the Mizbeach, sacrificed to Hashem, and his Eilah Reach Michlech. It goes up to Hashem with an item that is accepted by Hashem way above in the upper worlds. You have the Ketanis, for instance. The Ketanis is spices. It's going still lower than an animal. And these spices are so great and so holy. The word Ketanis means to bind. It binds the lowest world, Asiya, with Atzilus. So great is the sacrifice of Ketanis. So he has to mean it's so low here, spices that can rise up above the world of angels, above the throne of Hashem. In the Beis Mikdash, you find this combination of Galienu Lamata, Tachtenu Lamar. Now, there is a fourth item in creation. This fourth item is called, say, sort of a hidden topic. Recently, it's being discussed more often because there's a spread, a rash of classes in Kabbalah going around now. It's sort of a modern fad. People learning Kabbalah from cradle on. This, one of the main topics that is an item called the Koyach Hayuli. Koyach Hayuli means the intermediate power. Intermediate means there is that which is created, that's the Nivrah, and the Bede, the Creator. In between you have intermediate between the Creator and the created, this power that goes from one to the other and creates. Or the space between a theory and practice, thought and action. To translate thought into action, it's not just thought going into action. There must be an intermediate power. It's Koyach Avhiyuli. This Koyach Avhiyuli is what the other three come from. We said there are three kinds of creation. The Nivdal, the angels, the Galgal, intermediate ones, and the Shuffle, this low world. The middle one, the one that they come from is Hayuli, the one they derive from. We now have the four letters on the dreidel. Nun Gimel Hei Shin. Nun Gimel Shin is Nivdo Gogo Shofo. Hey is Hayuli. Now the fact that the dreidel spins shows that this spins, and sometimes the upper one is below. The malach becomes a person, the person becomes a malach. The head is considered a foot. It's a lower level, and so on. This is something which we find in the Beis HaMikdash. The Holy Temple was a symbol of this. There we said we found how the upper ones come below, the Shekhinah comes down, and the animal life, or the vegetation, plant life, spices go upwards. This is found in that word, Nun Gimel Shin Hei, which is symbolized too. This refers to the Beis HaMikdash, refers to the future, the coming of Mashiach. That's why the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu, Rizal says when it says the Yaakov Avinu sent his son. Before going into Egypt, he sent one son ahead to open up a yeshiva. Yes, Yehuda, Sholach Lafonav Gishna. He sent Yehuda in front of him before Gishna, Gishna Gimel Shin Nun Hei, the same four letters, to what? Open a yeshiva of learning, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Why Yehuda? Because Yehuda stands for King David. It stands for the future Mashiach. Shia comes from Yehuda. He was sent ahead, Gishna, to build the symbol of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why these letters to refer to the osset, to the future, as Geshnor Begimetria Mashiach. These four letters refer to Mashiach, the future when all this will be proven that the origin is one. The entire origin of creation has a motive, a purpose to reach the goal, which is the coming of Mashiach. Es Nun Gimel Hei Shin, Nes Gadol Hoyosham, where? There, in the Beis HaMikdash, with the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, the Baal says that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were told immediately, you leave Egypt, you're going to the sake of Geula. Why are you going? Because Ga'alta Shevet Nachlasecha, Har Tzion Zeshechanta Bay. You redeemed your people. Ga'alta Shevet Nachlasecha Har, as the first letters are, again, Nun Gimel Hei Shin, purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was the Geula Shleima to reach Eretz Yisrael, to build a base of Mikdash, the Yosef Lama. This Rebbeinu said, as a very light, just touching upon his point, to show that their questions are meaningless and void. Now, there is much more could be said about it, but that should not be said about it. Because Rebbeinu always taught, do not seek to answer these questions logically. You seek to answer them logically, you'll be drawn into this trap. Chas v'shalom, best thing is for a Jew to be very pure and simple in his emunah. A person's life is dependent upon his emunah. And life does not mean physical life here. That's temporary. Life means eternal life. Life in Elam Haba, life forever afterwards, is only if a person has that solid emunah which sustains him throughout. That's the key to life for the neshama. The key then is the person to strengthen himself with emunah, and with that he will live forever.